in dependence on the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 5. The last five words in verse 36. Be not afraid, only believe. The Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 5, verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. What a troubling word that was spoken to Jairus. Thy daughter is dead. That was real trouble, wasn't it? This man was in real trouble. Especially because he was a child of God and had been led by the Spirit to come to Jesus in his great trouble. And now it appeared that he had come to Jesus in vain. It appeared that this woman with the issue of blood had obtained the blessing from Jesus. And in that time, while this was being done, Jairus' daughter was dead. But how compassionate the Lord was. As soon as he heard those words, he, as it were, ran to this man's relief. And with power bade him still trust. You see, when he said here, only believe, this wasn't the beginning of this man's faith. He had come in faith to the Lord Jesus. And how the Lord's people need him to maintain their faith. Jesus, the author, is of true and living faith. This precious gift we first receive from him, and we have no stock of it in ourselves, do we? The principle of faith we receive in the new birth. But that doesn't put faith in our control. Because we receive the principle of faith in the new birth, that new heart and that new spirit, that doesn't mean that we can generate our own faith. The word says so truly, doesn't it? And no man can keep alive his own soul. And there's only one way your soul can live. The just shall live by faith. Are you thankful, my dear friend, that faith is the gift of God? Do you know that you have no more faith than that which the Lord gives you? If you do know that, you've got something to be thankful for tonight. In that, though your faith, though it seems so often so small, and sometimes it seems like Jesus spoke to the disciples, doesn't it? Where is your faith? Fruit may languish, leaves may wither. But what's that word we read of in the book of Job? The root of the matter is in him, Christ. In the believer. Be not afraid, only believe. The Lord's people have peculiar fears. This man's fears, no doubt, were peculiar. I've already just briefly hinted at them. The news that his daughter was dead. Why, it's not only such a great loss that he foresaw. He'd never hear his daughter's voice again. He would never see that smile again. Never have her company again. But the greater thing, and the thing that was peculiar to him and to each one of the Lord's people, was this. Does this mean that Jesus is not my God? Does this mean that I have no interest in his love and mercy and grace? For I've come to him, now my daughter's dead. I believe I speak the truth when I say the greatest fear a child of God ever has is that God is not their God. How could you have a greater fear than that? When, if God is not your God, you are doomed to be separated from him. And in that place where there is no hope, no mercy, and not a drop of water for a never-ending eternity. And it's clear from the word of God that the Lord's people do sometimes fear this. And it's clear from the word of God that just as it was with these messengers that came from Jairus' house with his sad news, trouble not the master anymore. The devil, he tells this weak believer, this troubled, fearful one, no use you praying to God, he's not your God. The psalmist spoke of it, didn't he? When he said, with a sword in my bones, mine enemies say unto me, where is now thy God? Didn't Jairus have that sword in his bones? And there's one thing that's certain, my dear friend, it's only the Lord that can relieve us when we've got that sword in our bones. It's only the Lord that can really answer that question. Where is now thy God? That can really answer that question. That can really contradict the devil when he says, and your unbelieving heart when it says, he is not my God. Fear not, be not afraid, be not afraid. We know that when the Lord spoke this to Jairus, he spoke it with power. The men can come to him and say, thy daughter is dead. But only Jesus can say, be not afraid. Where the word of a king is, there is power. You need more than to read the text in the Bible, don't you? You want the text in the Bible, the fear nots of the Bible applied to your own heart. That's what the Lord did here by speaking to Jairus. You know, that's one sure way of you knowing he is your God. My sheep hear my voice. Wonderful thing to hear the shepherd say to you, be not afraid. Be not afraid. The good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep, be not afraid. The good shepherd who is the door of the sheep, be not afraid. The good shepherd who's not an hireling who fleeth when the wolf cometh, but the good shepherd who stood against the wolf, against Satan, against this world, against sin. Be not afraid. Only believe. Only believe. We must seek the Spirit's meaning, the Lord's meaning in this word only. And it's simple. It simply means the single eye of faith only. What doesn't this word only mean? It doesn't mean that Jairus could believe easily of himself. It doesn't mean only like that. We could put it in different language to bring out the point here. Somebody might say, all you have to do is this. And the interpretation of that is that there is only this one thing to do. But it could be interpreted when somebody says, all you have to do is this. That which has to be done is easy. When the Lord said, only believe, he was speaking, he was bidding Jairus to look only to Jesus, to trust only in him. And look at the case he was in. Who else is there can raise one that is dead to life? Who else is there? The hymn writer says, doesn't he? None can raise to life the dead, but he that raised himself indeed, and four dead sinners died. But you see, the truth that there was only one that could help in this situation doesn't of itself cause a person to believe in him. So what does cause a person to believe in Jesus? Him bidding them believe in him. The hymn writer puts it beautifully, doesn't he? He makes the believer and gives him his crown. Have you in this year that is past since we met and how swiftly it's gone? But has it altogether gone without the Lord speaking to you from time to time? And the effect of that speaking to you through the ministry or directly into your soul in private? You have believed. You have trusted in him only. Believe. Now the Lord helped me to say a few simple things about this. Firstly, the Lord bids Jairus to believe in him. Who is this one that says to Jairus, only believe? It must be faith in God. The sure foundation. The faith that the Lord gives his people is in him who is the foundation stone, the rock. The psalmist says, doesn't he, who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? And when it is God himself in the person of his son that bids Jairus believe, it is the word of God that Jairus hangs upon. You know, when the Lord came and wrestled with Jacob at the brook Jabbok, it came to that point, didn't it, where the Lord touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and he was out of joint. And then the Lord proceeds to say to Jacob, let me go for the day breaketh. So what that means is that when the Lord touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, so that In the usual sense of the word, it was impossible for him to wrestle. He didn't let go of the Lord. So what was his wrestling from that point onwards? Well, it was the same really as it was before. He was hanging upon the Lord. I will not let thee go. And what had Jacob said to the Lord earlier? When he called upon him for help to deliver him from his brother Esau, of whom he was greatly afraid. What had Jacob said to the Lord? And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good. And thou, Jairus, in believing, only believing, all he has to go on is the word that the Lord Jesus has said to him in this situation he's in. Lord, that is, tell me only to believe. I depend upon thee to do that which thou hast bidden me trust in, to trust in thee, to trust firstly in his almighty power. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of the eternal Father. Do we read, don't we, in that beginning of the epistle to the Hebrews, it was he by whom God made all things, created all things. It is he who sustains all things. It is he for whom all things were made, and by him all things consist. This is the one that says to Jairus, this is the one that says to you, child of God, this evening, only believe. What blessed people we should be if we were favoured to believe more in the great God. Your troubles may be great this evening. They're tiny. Before the Almighty God. As Asa said to the Lord as he prayed unto him with a million Ethiopians coming against him, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, with many or with them that have no power. Lord, help us. That's the point, you see, my dear friend. Believing only is not just to say with Asa, Lord, it's nothing with thee to help. with many or with those that have no power. Believing only is to go on and say to the Lord in faith, Lord, help us. And believing only is also to do what Asa went on to do. For on thee we rest, and in thy name we go. May our dear friend, the Lord's servant, be favoured to go to Australia in that faith, as the Lord may enable him. And may there be those things done, the spiritual equivalent of what was done when God heard the prayer of Asa and gave them a victory over all those many, many men. Be not afraid, only believe. Who else was involved in creation? No one. God spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. What materials did God have in creation? None. Creation is making out of nothing. That's what God did. Be not afraid, only believe. But Jairus is a sinner. Jairus is a sinner. It's evident he was a child of God. We must therefore conclude that the Spirit in bringing him to Jesus, the Saviour of sinners, had in some measure at least taught him he was a sinner. But if I know anything rightly of it, one thing that events like the death of a daughter will bring home to us, or any trouble that may have come upon you, has God in that sanctified it to use the good of your soul in giving you to realize in a greater measure that you are a sinner? Does your unbelieving heart say, Jesus didn't spare my daughter's life because I'm such a sinner? Does the devil say that to you tonight? You know why you're in such trouble. You're such a sinner. You're not a godly person. You're a lost wretch. Be not afraid, only believe. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. They said he's gone to be guests with a man that is a sinner. David, convinced of his sin at Ziklag. The men speak of stoning him on top of his wives and children being carried captive and Ziklag burning to the ground. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And when he falls before the Lord and says, Lord, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? He must have been only believing, mustn't he? Believing that God is sufficiently merciful, sufficiently gracious, to hear even the petition of a sinner as vile as me. Only believe. You know, it's one of our greatest sins. Really, it's the greatest one. We mistake it for humility. It's not humility. It's not humility if we say, I'm too great a sinner for God to save. That's making God very small, isn't it? He that spared not his own son, only believe in him. The Son of God, who God loved with an infinite love, but he spared him not, sent him to this earth. Only believe in him who for the rescue of his people, from their death, from their guilt, from their ruin, from their enmity against God, from all the troubles that would ever come upon them, sent his son into that trouble, to taste of it in an infinite depth, to suffer beyond anything any one of his people have suffered. Believe in him who his father sent to keep the law for his people that they couldn't keep. Believe in him who his father sent to be tempted but stand with divine power against that devil whom his people are by nature in league with. Believe in him who his father sent and he went so willingly to Gethsemane to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. To the judgment hall to be crowned with thorns, spat upon, punched in the face, his beard plucked off him, and the scourges as ploughs on his back. Believe on him who allowed them to lead him forth to a place called Golgotha, where they crucified. Believe on him who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Believe on him who cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Believe on him who cried out with a triumphant cry, it is finished. Heaven and earth heard it. The rocks break asunder. The veil of the temple is rent in the midst from the top to the bottom. Believe in him on the third day who came forth from that tomb. Vain the watch, the stone, the seal. Christ the Lord is risen today. Only believe, the Lord help me to say a few further things in connection with what I've just said regarding this glorious person, and in particular in connection with the word only. He is the only man that has ever kept the holy law of God. He had no need of that obedience for himself. When the psalmist said, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, the end of that man is peace. Surely he is speaking firstly of Christ, the perfect man. Now, what is it about believing only in him which is so vital and which is so blessed What is it that believing only in him delivers the Lord's people from their fears, from being afraid? Because the thing you and I have above all else to be afraid of is our offense against God, is our disobedience of his law. It was because of sin, original sin, and Jairus' sin, and the sin of his daughter, that she lies there dead. The law's been broken. Believe only. And in connection with this matter of the obedience of the law, this is what only believe means. Because there has only been one man who ever kept the law, don't think you'll ever be able to keep it. Don't put your trust in you trying to keep it. Don't put your trust in yourself. And don't think that if you had done better, this wouldn't have happened to your daughter. Because you could have never, ever done that which would have prevented this happening. No more, my God, I boast no more of all the duties I have done. I quit the hopes I held before to trust the merits of thy Son. Only believe. Because you see, this man who did keep the law kept it for his people. He didn't need to keep the law for himself. He, the person, the Son of God, took the nature of man so he could keep the law in the nature of man for his people. He is the one that the gospel sets forth as having two coats. He has his own righteousness. That didn't consist in what he did here on this earth. As dear Bunyan says in the second part of Pilgrim's Progress, Emmanuel has righteousness in four ways. Three of them he cannot part with. His own eternal divine righteousness as the Son of God. The righteousness of his sacred holy humanity in itself. Pure, holy, righteous and in union. It never existed without being in union with his eternal person. And then that union of the two natures. That is a righteousness. It is the work of God. And because he must be in union with that humanity forever and ever, he cannot part with that righteousness. But the fourth consists in the doing of his Father's will. It consists in everything which he did, stooping to take this nature, living that perfect life, obeying every command his Father gave him, even unto that death, the death of the cross. That is the robe of righteousness which he wore for his bride. Only believe. There isn't a righteousness to be wrought, for it is wrought. His name should be called Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord, our righteousness. Jesus himself, our righteousness. What is needed? Faith in him. It is by faith in him that the sinner comes to know Jesus as Jehovah said, can you? Robert Murray McShane said that when he was dead in trespasses and sins, though friends spoke in raptures of Christ on the tree, Jehovah said, can you, meant nothing to me. But when he was awakened, and by the Lord's loud alarms, he trembled to die. He was brought to this point. Jehovah said, can you? My Saviour must be. That's the first degree of faith that the Lord gives his people. Only believe. His word is this, poor sinner, hear. Believe on me and banish fear. Cease from your own works, bad or good, and wash your garments in my blood. Only believe. We spoke of the fears of when a child of God is assaulted by the adversary. This one who bids Jairus believe in him was the one who was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil 40 days and 40 nights. In all points tempted like his people are, yet without sin. And when he stood there against the devil, he was the only one that stood between the devil and his people. And who won? This blessed Jesus, this mighty conqueror, did not fail, just as his Father had bidden him, as a promise concerning him, he shall not fail. Only believe. When a person is granted faith in him who conquered the devil, that is the victory over everything the devil says. And you see, this brings out, I know we're dependent on the Spirit to bring it forth and apply it to us, but it brings out this point of this singularity of this faith. We've got an eye, haven't we, by nature that peeps and squints another way. What the Lord Jesus is saying to Jairus, and maybe saying it with power to us tonight. Look only to me. I have dealt with the devil. He said at the end of John 16, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But then, only believe. He took 3 disciples with him into Gethsemane, didn't he? One of them thinks he can deal with the matter that is in front of them with his sword. But when the matter is the putting away of the sin of the church against God, when the matter is the defeat of death, what can a sword do? Put up thy sword into thy sheath, Peter. The cup that my Father's given me, shall I not drink it? When the band of soldiers come to lead him away, he says to them, if ye seek me, let these go their way. That the scripture should be fulfilled, that of those which thou hast given me I should lose nothing. If you seek me, let these go their way. Only believe, says Jesus, in me. When you feel, child of God, like Jairus must have felt in this situation, absolutely helpless. When the Lord Jesus draws near and bids you believe in him, your helplessness is no hindrance to him. It's your helplessness, the work of his Spirit in your soul, that is necessary for you to see and know his mercy, his love, his grace and his power. The judgment hall. Peter, who had said he was ready to go with him to prison and to death, denies him three times with oaths and curses. And all the disciples forsake him and flee. Only believe. That wonderful promise is being fulfilled. The government should be upon his shoulder, wholly on his shoulder. And to Calvary, oh, the loneliness of Calvary, the loneliness of that cross. His disciples have all gone. And now in the depths of his agony, unspeakable, immeasurable, inconceivable suffering, he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But listen to his prayer still, recorded in Psalm 22. Only believe. And I want to say this, the Lord help me to speak it plainly, and the Lord give you, my dear friend, to understand what I mean. Christ showed on the cross what faith really is. When his Father hid his face from him, when he forsook him, Christ believed on him. You read it in Psalm 22, read it when you go home tonight, perhaps. He walked that path of unanswered prayer. But he came to that point where he prevailed. Believe only, only believe. The singularity. But then to set it before you as the Lord may help me. What the Lord by his Son Jesus Christ is saying to every one of his people this night, as before them he is set forth. There is sufficient in me, poor sinner, for thee to venture thy all upon me. God hath required and he has received everything of me. A sinner then may, by his enabling and by his especial bidding, the old ministers used to say, didn't they, the Lord's biddings are his enablings, may come to Christ in all their unfitness, in all their ungodliness, in all their filth, in all their misery, with all their impossibility, with nothing but Christ. That's what only believing is. What a venture it is. You think of that beautiful line of the hymn writer, paraphrasing Christ's words, thy whole dependence on me fix, nor entertain a thought thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught. Only believe. Bring no money, price, or all. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Only believe in him who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And if you've never died, you've never known Christ as your resurrection. It's only the dead that know what resurrection is. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise, awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. But you see, this word only believe is not just a word. For when we're in such a crisis, as Jairus was here in here, really as sinners, our whole life is like a crisis. Oh, that we might feel more of that with regard to what we're like if we don't believe in Jesus. What do we do if we don't believe in Jesus? Our life is a life of Christlessness. And if it's a life of Christlessness, it's a life of nothing but sin. Only believe. The practical outworking of this faith in a believer's life makes him live to the honour and glory of God. Oh, what a saviour Christ is. That as he enables a sinner to believe in him, that sinner can live to the glory of God, not by themselves keeping the law of God, not by themselves and of themselves doing that which is pleasing in God's sight, but by the grace of the Lord Jesus in believing in him, doing that which is pleasing in his sight. I know it's a different grace, but it's a grace that is given together with faith, the grace of hope. And John says, every man that hath this hope in him, we could say every man that hath this faith in him then, purifieth himself, even as Christ is pure. My dear friend, are you at the crisis tonight? I'm so filthy, I'm such a sinner. I've tried to stop sinning and I can't. I read once of a minister, I think it was over in Ireland. And every Lord's Day morning about 2 o'clock, there was a knock at the door. It was a drunk parishioner. He wanted to speak to the minister. The minister kindly got up and spoke to him. I've failed again. I'm drunk. But minister, I keep trying to stop drinking. I keep trying to stop getting drunk. And the next week it was the same. And he went on week after week after week. The minister tried to plead with the Lord for this man. Then 1 week, he didn't get that knock at the door. 2 o'clock in the morning. That man came to the house of God and he said to the minister, blessed be the Lord, he stopped me trying and bade me trust. All my trying failed, but when he enabled me to trust in him, the drink lost its allure. And you could apply that, my dear friend, to any sin that you're beset with this evening. What mercy for the Lord to say to a sinner, fear not, be not afraid. You can hardly credit it, can you, when you're a real sensible sinner? Oh, it's easy to believe in Christ with an easy believism when you're not a real sinner. But when the Lord makes you to feel to be a real sinner, you find that to believe in him is impossible. But the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Believe only. And the Lord so tenderly went to this house. He wasn't put off by the people laughing at him. The Saviour that said to Jairus, believe only. I am God. I don't turn from my purposes because people laugh at me. I don't say to them, I will not deliver you because you're like this. He put them all out and took the mother and the father in. Ladies took the child's hand in his hand and spoke those tender words to her. We understand they are the words that a Jewish mother would usually wake her daughter with in the morning. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And she arose. She's made perfectly whole. Did Jairus contribute anything to it? No. Did the daughter contribute anything to it? No. Was her case too hard? No. Was her case too far gone? No. Why not? Only because of the will of God declared by Jesus Christ. Just one last word. Only believe. Sometimes faith and assurance are confused. Faith and assurance speak of two different things. You may have faith such that your trust is wholly in Jesus, but not have the assurance that he is yours. Assurance is that increase of faith. And we can but believe that Jairus had that. But as I said to someone recently, who said they were still seeking assurance, sought to encourage them to seek after it, but to remember that when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, he didn't say that whosoever hath assurance might not perish, but have everlasting life. But whosoever believeth on me should not perish, but everlasting life. Oh, I'm sure if you have the least degree of faith, your soul will not be satisfied without assurance. And yet, by that living faith, your eye is fixed on him. And that sinner will, on the Lord's own words, never perish. And you know, it's a solemn thing. that sometimes we hear a person speak with such assurance that isn't borne out by humility and that humble, tender walk with God. We could trace Jairus going with Jesus to his house and seeing that humble, tender walk. There's a picture there of what faith does in the hearts of his people. It's a solemn thing when assurance causes a person to become careless, indifferent. Even a child of God can get into this frame. It's not God's work, that's for certain. But often we see a weak believer who wouldn't profess to have assurance, but see how tenderly they walk. See how they live their life by faith. You know, it's greatly needed among us as a group of churches in the day in which we live. Only believe the promises that God has given in and through his dear Son to provide, to protect, to guide. When Jairus only believed, his eyes were only on the Lord. Are yours, are mine, concerning everything in our life. Be not afraid. Only believe. He will never let the weakest believer perish. He will never let the weakest believer starve. He will never let the weakest believer be without provision for their body and for their soul. What is the provision for their soul? His own flesh, his own blood. He said, didn't he, accept? Ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. So whether it be your daughter, your son, your friend, or your own case tonight, the Lord understands it completely. He knows what he's going to do. He's in control of everything and everyone. He has only to speak and it will be done. The Lord grant us this single eye. What did they say of him? And every believer will say this at last of him. He hath done all things well. Amen.